Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
The passing of the Assisted Reproduction Bill 2022 through the final stages of the Dáil on Wednesday. It's been welcomed by many families and couples nationwide, but for same-sex parents that have used surrogacy, the bill continues to ignore some of their main wishes, really. And the CEO of Equality for Children, Renee Von Medding, and Seamus Carney-Martoni, who's the chairperson of Irish Gay Dads, are both with me in studio today. Renee, will you just explain, how does what happened on Wednesday exclude you and Seamus?
Okay, so thanks for having us here to talk about something that's so important for so many families across Ireland. So this bill is going to, for the first time, legislate for surrogacy. But it's not only going to do that, it's also going to legislate for other forms of assisted reproduction, fertility treatments and donor reproduction. So if you are an LGBTQ plus person, you need one of these things in order to grow your biological family. So in terms of how it's excluding LGBTQ plus folks and their children, my family has conceived through donor reproduction. We have three children. Two of our daughters have two legal parents. One of our children has one parent. So within our family, we have two children with two parents, one with one parent. And this bill, we were promised, was going to fix that. Mm. And on Wednesday, we learned that that was going to be delayed. The bill was going to be pushed forward as is. Yes, it was a celebratory day for many families, for many people who it did cover. But for many families like mine, who were conceived and either through donor-assisted reproduction or through surrogacy, for our families, it was a devastating day to be told once again that we were going to have to wait.
Why is there this continued delay, Seamus?
Well, I mean, if we go back in history, we've been given several timelines by Minister Donnelly on when this legislation is going to pass. And sorry, first of all, can I acknowledge the fact that a lot of our families will be protected by this legislation. A lot of our Irish gay dads will receive their declaration of parentage. But a lot of them won't. If I think about couples who are living abroad, Irish couples living abroad want to come back to Ireland with their kids because they haven't been habitually residing in Ireland for 2 years around the time of their surrogacy journeys. They'll be unable to get their declaration of parentage. Why the delays? So they cited on Wednesday, or Minister Donnelly cited, that it was due to the fact that the areas are so complex. We went with the Department of Health back in December, and they promised us that all of these issues would be addressed by the time the Assisted Human Reproduction Bill got to report stage. So it really was a surprise to all of us to hear on Wednesday that, in fact, they were going to be pushed to a new amendment bill that was going to happen in September this year.
If somebody from government was here, Seamus, today, would they say, look, you know, there's a lot of legalities around this. We've a lot of I's to dot and T's to cross, and we need to start somewhere. And we recognise this is bittersweet for you and Renee and many other families. But this is a starting point, and, you know, we're still going to persevere with this down the line. Is that what you're hearing?
That's what we're hearing. I'm not sure if we fully believe that. So we've been hearing that for a long time. We've heard that, you know, the Assisted Human Reproduction Bill was paused in order to bring in international surrogacy. So they had the Special Joint Rapporteurs Committee on International Surrogacy that sat. We were witnesses to that committee, and we got involved in every stage of the process. Requested to have meetings with the Department of Health several times and met with them once or twice, shared our concerns. And I guess in terms of legislation, it is important to have like a starting point. But the way that we feel as a community, so the LGBTQ plus community, is that we have been disproportionately excluded from this legislation.
Like, just to give an example, Renee, you mentioned your like two daughters with two parents, and then it's your son, isn't it?
Yeah, baby boy Ali.
Yeah. So how does the complications of this now, you know, for you guys as a family when you're going anywhere, all of the different, you know, legal things that you need to do and documents, like in real terms, how does this affect you?
So the starkest kind of black and white terms I can give you is that if I walked out of here today and got knocked down by a car, touch wood, my wife would have two children and my son would have no legal parent in the state. He would be a ward of the state. My wife has no legal connection to our son.
Is she a guardian?
No. You cannot become a guardian of a child conceived through, at the moment, conceived through donor reproduction or surrogacy until the child is 2 years old, until you've been living with them for 2 years, as it currently stands. So no, she cannot become a guardian of him. He's only 4 months old. So if something happened to me today, he would be left with no parents.
And there's no legislation, nothing at all that would
recognize your circumstances. Of course, you can put wills in place and whatnot, but no, my family would be his next of kin.
And with what happened on Wednesday, Seamus, for you and your partner, like, how were you affected?
So this is the, I guess this is the really difficult bit for me, particularly sitting across from Renee here. So I have two children. My husband and I have two children. One came into our family through intra-country adoption. And our son, who is now 4 months old also, came through our family through surrogacy in the US. Little Mateo will be covered by this legislation. So we will get our declaration of parentage. I sat beside Renee in the gallery of the doll on Wednesday, and she had Ali with her. And it was heartbreaking to sit there with this little boy and his mum who weren't protected by this legislation. So while I do celebrate the fact that, you know, my child will be protected, it's a bittersweet kind of a celebration. And also to say, you know, my husband and I also do have embryos left in the US. And now we're in a situation where, because of the prospective legislation that's included in the Assisted Human Reproduction Bill, we won't be able to use those embryos. We won't be able to complete a surrogacy journey in the US because compensated surrogacy has been ruled out. And anyone who knows anything about surrogacy will know that the US is a compensated base model. So that's a really, really difficult situation for my husband and I to be in. What do we now do with these embryos?
What can you do?
Very little.
And that only materialised on Wednesday for you and your husband. That,
well, we knew it was coming down the track.
Down the track, okay.
Yeah, I guess it was.
But that's
it,
a hard,
it was made official. Yeah.
Yeah, that's I mean, I know in one breath you're saying like it's a bittersweet moment for other families who'll be listening to this today, and they'll be covered with what happened on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But for you and your husband, it's obviously it's a very different scenario.
Yeah.
So where do you go from here, Renee?
So I suppose, you know, we can shout and stomp our feet all we want, but really what we need to see is action, and we need to move forward. And we have been promised by Minister Donnelly that there will be an amendment bill in September. Now, as Seamus said, we're all, you know, not really holding our breath for that, but we need to push forward for that.
And what would happen with that, though?
That would mean that there would be further amendments. So he did recognise on Wednesday that there were additional issues, you know, which was hard for me to hear, that my son is an issue.
Well, you're an issue, effectively, really, aren't you?
You know, we were referred to as loose ends to tie up, and, you know, my child is not a loose end. But he did acknowledge that there were additional situations that needed to be looked at. So what we would like now is meaningful engagement with the minister in order to ensure that the amendments that do come through in September are actually fit for purpose, and that he is engaging with the relevant stakeholders, and not just the ones he wants to engage with, but actually the ones that represent our community.
Are you confident, Seamus, that'll happen come September with this potential amendment?
Well, if I think about the promises that we've been given before around timelines, I mean, we were told that what happened on Wednesday would have happened by Christmas. So I wouldn't be hugely confident about those timelines. I would hope, you know, I'm a very positive thinker, so I would hope that he would stick to his word. But we also have to think about and consider the lifespan of the government that's remaining. It is quite possible that we will have a new government and this legislation won't have passed. And in that situation, we go back down to the bottom of the
pile. Back to square one again. Well, look, we'll keep in touch with you both. I know it's not the first time we've talked to you here on the programme, but I was interested to chat to you, giving, I suppose, what had happened on Wednesday. Seamus Carney Martoni and also Rene Von Meeting, thanks a million to you both for joining us here on the programme today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.